Good morning. Good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for being with us and waking us up and helping us to come to church this morning to spend time in your word and in worship and in prayer. We give this time to you and we give our hearts to you. Come and speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessed are those who mourn. Just to give you a few other translations, the Good News translation says, happy are those who mourn. God will comfort them. The Message translation says, you're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. The New Living Translation says, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. So, last week or 2 weeks ago, I shared that I want to start, just whenever I get a chance to speak at EMP, start going through the Sermon on the Mount, starting with the Beatitudes. And so, last week, we looked at, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Today we go to, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I am curious, when you hear that passage, blessed are those who mourn, how you guys interpret this. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. How do you guys interpret that? In my study for this preparation for this sharing, I found that primarily the way people teach this or talk about it or preach about it is they see the mourning in a spiritual way. So just as the poverty that verse 3 talks about, poverty in spirit, Luke will say, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Just as that word poor is not talking necessarily about material poverty, right? Because you can have a lot of money and still have that idea, understanding of your own spiritual bankruptcy that brings you to the feet of Jesus Christ. So it's not talking about material poverty, but a spiritual poverty, recognizing our own spiritual bankruptcy, that we really have nothing on our own that qualifies us to stand before God. Mourning is also not just talking about a natural mourning, like you lost something or you the death of a loved one and you're crying and you're sad and you're grieving, but mourning is also connected to a spiritual reason. Mourning for our own sinfulness, mourning our own spiritual bankruptcy. So the first one is we understand that we are spiritually bankrupt and that brings us to God in an attitude of humility. But the second one, blessed are those who mourn, is there not only are you aware of your own bankruptcy spiritually, but now you're grieved by it. And you're mourning the fact that you are so filled with sin and so unrighteous and so far from God. And there is scriptural basis for it. James chapter 4, verse 7 to 10 says this, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Look at verse 9, James 4, 9. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. That's exactly what this is saying. James is saying, stop living maybe in denial or just unaware of your own sinfulness and just how serious the condition of your own heart is. And he says you need to mourn and grieve and wail and humble yourselves. Let your laughter turn to gloom and mourning. It is powerful to meditate upon this. Let me ask you, when is the last time you truly mourned and you grieved and you were pained in your heart over your sin? When's the last time you really, truly was mourning and grieving and just pained in your heart? I can't remember when is the last time I had that kind of a heart. Not this deep mourning, this deep humbling of myself. And sometimes I think I am too casual with God. You know, there is, of course, like, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. But it's okay. You know, I don't allow that repentance maybe to penetrate deeper and to really cause wailing, humility, sadness, grieving, which will lead me to, yeah, to go deeper with God. Maybe I'm too casual with God. I'm too casual with my pursuit of holiness. I'm too casual in dealing with my disobedience. And just a word of caution, I think we have to walk in both mourning and confidence before God. Right? I think that's true. Sometimes we're too casual with God because our emphasis is maybe too much on the forgiveness of God and the grace of God and the work that He has done for us to be confident before Him, which is true. You know, when I was growing up as a Christian, I grew up in a Korean church as a missionary kid, pastor's kid. I think I was probably too much in mourning, just too much shaming myself and condemning myself and just like, I suck, you know, I'm a bad Christian, God is displeased with me, He doesn't love, you know, I don't know, He probably loves me, but He's unhappy with me. And that's not healthy, right? We need to know, no, God is pleased with us, He's easily pleased, and He's very deeply in love with us. He died on the cross for us. And so we have that love and acceptance, but maybe I'm too comfortable in this area and I have become too casual in just living with sin. And so it's good. I think it's good to have both of that. So that's the one thing for us to meditate upon. When's the last time we have mourned and grieved and truly felt pain in our hearts because of our sin? But the second idea that I want to bring to us this morning is, I wonder if Jesus was talking about mourning our sinfulness and grieving our sinfulness, or if He wasn't just simply talking about those who mourn, period. Not for a spiritual reason, not just a spiritual mourning of, man, I am not righteous, I'm not holy, and I'm not, you know, I see sin in my life and I'm mourning, but just mourning. Blessed are those who mourn. Not only for spiritual reasons, but for all kinds of reasons. There's a passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2. It says, "It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart. Frustration is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure." And I think what this is pointing out is that there is a depth that comes through mourning, through loss, through grieving, and through going through a difficult time. There is a wisdom that comes out of that. There is a depth that this kind of experience brings us into that simply living in pleasure and comfort all the time will never teach us. It'll never bring us to that place of deep understanding, a deep wisdom. And I just want to point out, the audience, when Jesus is on this mountain preaching this, you know, teaching this Sermon on the Mount, the audience probably would have been those who are familiar with mourning. They would have been familiar with loss. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 to 25, it lists, it's the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and who are the people that flock to Jesus? It says, he was healing every disease and sickness among the people. All came who are ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed and those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and Jesus healed them. The people that came to Jesus and followed Jesus to this place to hear him teach, they were the sick, the desperate, the rejected, the condemned from society. These are all people that would have been familiar with mourning and with loss. Life has not been easy for them, and so they are already living with pain and disappointment and mourning. In fact, it's probably their loss and their mourning that prompted them to come to Jesus in the first place. The comfortable, maybe it took them a while of hearing about Jesus, all these cool things about Jesus, and they start to come and wonder, like, oh, what's this Jesus figure? I want to check it out. But it's these that are mourning and grieving and living with loss and living with pain. It prompted them to flock to Jesus because they found a glimpse of hope in him. And another story that I connected this idea with is in Luke chapter 16. It's the story of Lazarus and the rich man. It's a story, it's a parable that Jesus tells. But there is a rich man, Jesus says, there was a rich man who just had everything going for him in this life, and there was a beggar outside of his door. His name was Lazarus. He was suffering with sores on his body, dogs were licking his wounds, and Lazarus eventually dies. But after Lazarus dies, it says the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in this story, the rich man is in Hades, he's in suffering, he's in this fiery place of suffering, and he calls out to Father Abraham. He says, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Can you send Lazarus to me, dip his finger in some water so that I can cool my tongue? And this is what Abraham says in verse 25, Luke 16, 25. Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. It's Lazarus that pretty much mourned for probably a large portion of his life. He was in mourning. He was in pain. He was in loss. And in this parable that Jesus tells, Father Abraham says, hey, Lazarus was in mourning before, but now he's with the Father and he is being comforted. And I wonder if the audience is there, they're familiar with mourning. They're familiar with grieving. They're familiar with loss. And Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I wonder if the audience is thinking, I have been mourning. I had been mourning my whole life. You know, it feels like it's been my whole life. For many years, I've been mourning because of this blood issue, this other sickness issue, this paralysis, this poverty, this demon possession. I had been mourning for years, but I heard about Jesus and I came to him and I found comfort. I was comforted. I think they can connect with it. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Well, I was in mourning and I came to Jesus and now I have been comforted. Wow, amazing. And I am being comforted in his presence now. And it sounds like Jesus is saying there's going to be even a greater comfort that's going to come in the future. There's other areas I'm still mourning, But Jesus says, well, you will yet be even more comforted. And so, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to understand how this would apply, this idea of not just mourning for sin. Because that's easy. We can make a conclusion out of that very, very, it's a very direct conclusion. And I think there's great power and value in it. We have to meditate on that. But what if Jesus is just simply talking about mourning and is calling out to those that have been experiencing loss and grief and saying, man, you're going to find comfort in the Father. If you come to the kingdom, if you come to me, you're going to find comfort. And so I'm thinking maybe our attitude toward mourning and loss needs to be changed. Our attitude toward mourning and loss needs to be changed. Maybe we are too quick to try and eliminate mourning and grieving and loss from our lives, and we are quick to try and comfort ourselves and to self-soothe our pain. We have no shortage of distractions that can help us take our mind off of our pain, right? So we don't have to be in grieving and mourning. We can, maybe in Jesus' days, they really didn't have much. So when they're in pain and they're in loss, they're sitting in it. And when Jesus comes, it's like, whoa, there's hope for healing and hope for comfort, and I'm going to go to him. But maybe for us, there's just too many things that we can turn to. If I'm grieving about something, I can, I don't know, turn on Netflix, or I can go to McDonald's, I can order this from the internet, and it fills my heart with joy, you know? And I'm not sitting in my grieving and mourning, which would turn us, I think, to God to receive the comfort of the Lord, which is probably better than anything else we could imagine. Now, I wonder if Jesus is not saying, you are blessed when you're mourning because then you're going to experience the comfort of God. And I came up with a phrase, those tweet phrases. The comforted do not need to be comforted. Right? The comfort, if you've already comforted yourselves, maybe you've turned to other things to self-soothe and you comfort yourself, or it's your circumstances have just allowed you to be comforted by, you know, different things in life, that you don't need to be comforted, and therefore you never get to experience the tender love of the Father, the God of all comfort, coming to us and ministering to us. You know, it's like what P. Sam kind of talked about, I think 2 weeks ago, about the dark night of the soul. Sometimes I think it was about knowing God, how knowing God is so important, because God is the only one that can carry us through. And it's when we go through times of difficulty and pain that we actually get to experience God in this way. And maybe what Jesus is highlighting here. So, number one, Sybil is going to lead. Maybe you can come up. Sybil is going to lead us in a song, but let's meditate first on our own sinfulness and our own just how far we are from really living in righteousness, really living in holiness and purity before God, and let's mourn that, you know, let's mourn our own spiritual bankruptcy and go to God and ask for his mercy. The second thing that I thought about was, at least for me, how it helps me. Well, the second thing, let's go back. The second thing is, as I just talked about, maybe let's meditate on, am I too comfortable? Am I too comfortable? Am I too distracted and comforted in my own strength, you know, in my own self-soothing ways? Am I too comfortable? Am I too comforted to really go before God and experience the comfort of God? And the third thing, I don't know, just as an application, for many of us, we work in church. I thought it's maybe our perspective on ministering to those who are mourning can be shifted. Because often I think if somebody is in mourning and they've experienced grief, my immediate gut reaction is, oh, I just feel so bad for them. And I don't know how to say anything to them. And I just feel like, oh man, what do I do? And I'm at a loss as to what I can do and how I can comfort or do anything. But maybe, I don't mean that we should say it to the person that's mourning, but maybe in our own hearts, I can approach the situation with this understanding that the truth is, this person, even though what they're going through is so hard, he is blessed. She is blessed because he or she will be comforted by God. And I can go into that situation with the understanding that, wow, blessed are you because you are going to be comforted by God. I don't know how it's going to come. And I don't know, I don't know all that the ways that God's going to come through for you to comfort you, but God's going to do it. And I don't know, just kind of have that heart of not being so lost as to how do I comfort and what do I do from here, but be confident that, no, Jesus says you are blessed because you will be comforted, and then go from there to minister to that person and to help that person experience the comfort of God. So, yeah, let's go before the Lord. Sybil leads us in a song. And let's do that. Thank you.
Foundation, my anchor won't be moved. Storms may collide, but my soul is on fire with his word. When listen to the sound of power on my lips, Jesus has broken the curse. He has never lost a battle. Who are you, great mountain, that you should not bow low? Jesus defeated the darkness. He has never lost a battle. He is the only healer. His love will never fail. And all my belief dares to defeat every lie. He is a strong high tower. Fear will not find me there. I come alive with his promise inside of my heart. When listen to the sound of power on my lips, Jesus has broken the curse. He has never lost a battle. Who are you, great mountain, that you should not bow low? Jesus defeated the darkness. He has never lost a battle. Christ Redeemer, we remember he has won the war. Jesus, mighty overcomer, our defender has conquered. Christ, redeemer, we remember, he has won the war. Jesus, mighty overcomer, our defender has conquered. Christ, redeemer, we remember, he has won the war. Jesus, mighty overcomer, our defender has conquered. When listen to the sound, power on my lips. Jesus has broken the curse. He has never lost a battle. Who are you, great mountain, that you should not bow low? Jesus defeated the darkness. He has never lost a battle. When listen to the sound of power on my lips. Jesus has broken the curse. He has never lost a battle. Who are you, great mountain, that you should not bow low? Jesus defeated the darkness. He has never lost a battle.
Thank you, Sybil. Seems like the PowerPoint slides are not working, so I'll just lead us through some of these topics. Let's pray for those battling cancer. If we can pray for Esther Singh's sister, B. Kwan, Yuju Lee, Hazel Low, Isaac Chung, Ingrid and Archie's Ingrid, and there's Caleb Scher's ex-helper, Pasita, Mia Fabrero. I think she's a Spill member, right? Yeah, Mia Fabrero. Andrea Fu's grand aunt Helen, Jackie's friend's daughter, who must be a young person, right, who has brain cancer. Fabi's team member in YOM, Olivia. Nicola Chen's uncle. Hannah Morris's grandmother. Jade Shi's sister, Chloe. Vanessa Mack's father. Mary's cousin, Anissa. And Simeon Pang's friend. Okay, so let's pray for these individuals. I know you can't remember all the names, so just whoever you can recall, let's pray for healing. Let's pray for power of God to be released over our friends. Let's pray for those who are ill but also in need of salvation. So Archie's friend's mom, Sybil, who is recovering from hip replacement surgery. Rachel Ann's colleague, Agnes, it is in her other job. Severe eczema infections, let's pray for Agnes. Caleb Scher's colleague, Maggie, who has cancer. Rosa Ng's mother, who has a stroke. Virginia Cheng's older aunt, arrhythmia and back and walking issue, and younger aunt, brain damage due to a stroke. Thaddeus's friend's mother with lung cancer. Jackie's friend's father with cancer. Cadence's friend's brother who has schizophrenia. Annie Lamb's mother recovering from surgery. Mary Ellen's sister-in-law's sister, terminal lung cancer. And Anne's aunt Leah. This is Anne from France. Her aunt Leah, cancer in various organs, and she asked for prayer for her uncle as well, who is getting giving care to the aunt. Let's pray for these things. Let's pray for various infirmities. Angie's mother, who had surgery recovery. Jessica Sung, this YWAM, she has chronic joint pain. Pastor Sophia has a left knee ligament issue. Tim's mother, Tim Tang, our staff member. Urinary tract infection, dementia, muscle atrophy, speech difficulties. Seon, with ulcerative colitis, let's pray for healing for him. Ingrid's sister-in-law, recovery from stroke. Bonnie Sin's friend, who has a cervical spine surgery recovery. And Sterling asked for prayer. He's had some arm pain from a previous injury that's not going away. So let's pray. Let's pray for those who are looking for a job. Let's pray for Sterling and Catherine. Let's just ask for God's provision and leading and guidance and direction for them. And let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Thank you. Let's pray for Hong Kong first. And let's just add to the list here. Now you can see it on the screen. Let's add COVID as well. I just thought maybe we can just simplify it a little bit. Let's just pray for the COVID situation. It's been getting better. And I mean, as we all know, the restrictions are also coming down. It seems like it's less of a serious issue. So praise God for that. And let's continue to pray for the government to really lead well. That just pray for anointing and guidance, help, wisdom from the Lord for our leaders in our city, for John Lee and all the different leaders in our city. Let's pray about the wealth gap, that there will be something that is done in a righteous way to really care for the poor. Let's pray for revival in our city. Let's pray for all the churches and the different ministries. There will be power, anointing, provision from God. Sports Services International, Shanti, YWAM, Ga Catering with Ange, SND, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice, and the Hong Kong Korean Church. Let's pray for just the young people, the students in our city, with all the stress that they're under. Let's pray for the families, distressed families, just for peace of God over their homes, and pray for the domestic helpers who are in tough situations so often here in our city. So let's just pray for Hong Kong. in the midst of their difficulty, in the midst of their mourning, God, that they will find their comfort in you, God. They will find their strength in you, God. Shakurababa, all the different ministries, God, that there be power and anointing, provision from you, God. Government to be led by you. Let's pray for our staff, Pastor Sam. He is going to be on a short trip to the U.S. He is visiting, I don't know the name of the organization. He's part of this sports ministry organization, FCA. I don't know what it stands for, but he's on this global board. They have a big meeting this weekend, and so there's going to be leaders from all over the world. And so PSAM's going to be there. He's going to attend. He's going to share a little bit. So let's just pray for him to have a good trip. He'll be back by next weekend. So he'll be here with us next Sunday. Let's pray for PSAM. Let's pray for the rest of the team, the staff team, that we would really work well together. We would have the heart of God as we minister to our church members, that we would be faithful and faith-filled. You know, that we would really trust God and be anointed by the Holy Spirit. So let's pray for the staff. Let's pray for our education team. Can we really pray hard for our education team, especially SP Kids and SP Youth, because they need volunteers. Let's pray that God would send the right teachers to these ministries. SPU is okay right now, but SP Youth and SP Kids are really in need of different people to come and serve. Let's pray for these two ministries. Pray for Lisa, Caleb, Grace, as they lead their respective ministries. Let's pray for encouragement and strength and anointing. So let's pray. As for kids, I pray for great new teachers, God. Great teachers with a real heart to serve, real desire to serve God, humility, sincerity of our heart, God. Let's pray for the worship and sound ministry and AV team. Myself and Wesley working together for worship and sound, and Pastor Kenny and Rachel Chow working together for AV team. Let's just pray that the ministries will work well together, and that the church would be blessed by the worship, the music, and the video, the audio, the screens. You know, let's just pray for God's anointing upon these ministries. Let's pray for our pregnant moms, Hina, and there are other moms. I don't know if, yeah, maybe we can't say, but there are other moms in our church, pregnant or about to give birth. Let's just pray for God's protection and covering and just favor and strength for our moms. And let's pray for our house churches meeting today. Fontana, Happier Valley, Hopewell, K-House, OPR, and Princeton. Let's ask for God's covering and protection over our house churches and a really wonderful time today. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for being with us. We love you. We worship you, God. Thank you that in you we have comfort. God, you are the God of all comfort. And I thank you that for those who are mourning, we have the promise of your comfort, God, right now. I pray that you would go and comfort them, God, and help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. And if there are areas, God, where we really, it deserves mourning and grieving, our own sinfulness or our distance from you, God, that you would stir that up in our hearts as well, God. So we give our hearts to you. We give this day to you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And God bless you. Have a great day today.